you got your Bibles, I'm going to see. Wave them at me if you got one. Wave them, wave them. Thank God. I want you to follow me tonight. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. When you get there, say amen. Amen. One of you. If you're in Ephesians 4, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want to look at the first 16 verses. I got something on my heart. And I want to do this in a graceful way, but also a firm way. I want to speak the truth in love, but I do want to speak the truth. And I want you to notice this passage of Scripture. I'll read these verses, give you a few introductory remarks, then I'm going to preach on this thought. What does a healthy church look like? What does a healthy church look like? I want to preach on that. Because I'll be quite honest with you. How many believe the world's crazy? But I want to tell you what saddens me. I think most of Christendom is crazy. And I'll explain that in a moment. Here's what we got in Christendom. We got a group that have left the fundamentals of the faith. And they went left. And they're called, one group, a new IFB. I don't know what that is. And then there's another group. I saw a podcast this week, made me about half sick, about throwed up twice, on recovering fundamentalists. Podcast. And what's so sad is some of the people on that podcast used to preach here. And what they're advocating is, and you got to be a weak, and if somebody in my church ever does that, shame on you. To leave this church and go to a church that don't even believe in the King James, you're in trouble. Now here's what they're doing, Rich. This crowd to the left, they're denying the King James. They really saying that we don't have a Bible. What are we going to do if we don't have a Bible? They say they all are the Bible. Well, that's just not true. Then they're going into a more contemporary, liberal style worship. Help me preach. I'm not against new songs. And a new song is not necessarily contemporary. Lord, see, nod at me. I'm not against new songs, but I am against songs that promote a worldly lyric, worldly music. Somebody help me preach. And here's another thing they're doing. Many of them used to be, you know, they say they're recovering fundamentals, so they now are in this craze, take Baptists off the door. Don't be identified with anything. And don't even be identified with Christian. God help us. I want you to know something that's unbiblical. But I want to give you another extreme. There's another extreme of right wingers. I'm talking about over here. That are hateful. That are mean. That are bitter. That are angry. And ain't no wonder people don't want to be associated with it. I just might as well preach it like it is. Now here's where I am. I'm not there. There's a bunch of nutheads. People that get up and call women bad names. And I want you to know something. If you call my wife a heifer, you and I probably have to go outside. She's a lady. She's a Christian. Amen. Just because somebody don't dress just like you think they ought to dress, you ought to cast them out. Somebody say amen. Well, I'm trying to help y'all. Y'all all with me? See, somebody has got to park right in the middle and preach the Bible and believe in the truth so people will be attracted to us and not turned off from us. Amen? Ain't nothing will turn you off like somebody going to the left and somebody going to the right into extremes. Isn't that way our world is today? Look at the anarchists in the street. Look at the right wingers that are nuts. And somebody got to get some sense and bring some sense not only back to the world, but back to the church, and that the church will be governed according to the Bible. Am I preaching? Now let's look at these verses. And I'll try to give you a few things tonight and let you go home. What does a healthy church look like? I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein or wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. Somebody shout right here, and in you all.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Yes, wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. I'm really worried that we got a bunch of babies in our churches. Just absolute crybabies. Get preaching anyhow. That are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningness and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I want to preach tonight on what does a healthy church look like. I'm a Baptist, okay? Y'all want to know why I'm a Baptist? I am a Baptist because they believe closest to the Bible. And when, you know, I'm called an independent fundamental Baptist. I think that's been confused. That really has been confused. I just soon be called an independent Baptist. Because some of you confuse what fundamental means. I mean, you can see people, there are some people that fly planes in the buildings and kill people innocently, call themselves fundamentalists. Hello? Good preaching, Reverend.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the reason I am fundamental, if that's what you want to call me, is because I believe in the fundamentals of the faith.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me explain this. I want y'all to do me a favor. I'm teaching tonight and preaching. Write down the word B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Write it down in your paper, your notes, real quick. I'm going to give you something. B-A-P. I had a guy from another faith come here one time working on our stuff. When he charged us, he wrote Taze Valley, B-A-B-T-I-S-T. He didn't even know how to spell the name. B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Now write this down. Now here's why I'm a Baptist. Baptists believe in biblical authority. B stands for biblical authority. I want to tell you what. If this church is not resting on the Bible and our beliefs are not on the Bible, whether we're called Baptist, Lutheran, or whatever, we're wrong. We got to be resting upon the Bible. And how can we have a faith, Chad, if it's not on the Bible? And how can we, Lois, have a faith if we don't have a Bible? See, I believe we got an inerrant Bible. I believe we've got a God-breathed Bible. Now let me go on. Now I'm going to tell you why I'm independent. I believe in the autonomy of church, the church. How many of y'all know what that's? A. That means we're self-governed. A convention don't govern us. Somebody help me preach. I'm not getting newsletters to tell me what to preach every Sunday. I am not governed by a convention. I'm not governed by a Southern Baptist convention, a Northern Baptist convention, an American Baptist convention. I am governed by the Bible.
Amen.
Then the P stands for this, the priest to the believer. I don't have to go to a priest and confess my sins because I am a priest and I can go to my high priest and talk to him. Is that pretty good? Then the first T stands for two officers, pastor and deacon. Then the next I stands for individual soul liberty. Even though we're a body, every one of you are individually accountable for how you act. I don't think I got a good amen on that one. Where am I? Am I T-I-S? You know what that means? That means saved church membership. There's too many churches today that have membership that a lot of folks in their church are lost people. Somebody help me preach. And then the last T is the two ordinances, baptism and communion. And if you want to put an S on it to pluralize it, it believes in separation of church and state. But it sure isn't the interpretation the government gives of that. It's not them getting into our business and keeping us out of their business. What it is, they stay out of our business, but that does not mean that we can't get into their business.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. I don't understand why some of these radical preachers are able to say what they want, tell who they're voting for, and tell what they believe, and we have been kept silent. There's some time in this world that the Church of the Living God, and especially in this crucial time, 79 days from election, that we need to stand up for something. Now, I'll give you four things and let you go home. What does a healthy church look like? Number one, look at the verse three verses. It is characterized by unity. Somebody say amen. Now, I don't want you to confuse something. Some of you confuse uniformity with unity. Ain't nobody in this room all think alike. Somebody help me preach. We all got different opinions. And we're not uniform all the time on our opinions. That's why some people like brown carbon, some people like blue carbon, some people like this or that. But ladies and gentlemen, do not tell me you can't be united with me under the cause of Christ and about the Bible, about the blood, about the doctrines of Christ. I want to tell you, if you can't be on the same page as I am on that, you're in trouble. You said, I just can't be in unity with you people at that church. No, hold it. You got a problem. Now, let me show you something. There must be a oneness of humility. That speaks of our behavior. Look at these words. I wonder how our church members do in this area. Look at these words in verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. What's all that mean? I tell you how we ought to act and behave. We sure ought not act cocky and angry and bitter and mean. We ought to be humble. We ought to have a low spirit. Really, we ought not to think of ourselves much more highly than we are. How many believe we're all just sinners saved by grace? I mean, I deserved hell. I don't think I ought to be big eyes and big U's. Hey, by the way, if you give a great amount of money or a little amount of money, if you're paying your tithe, you're doing right. And by the way, you ain't giving no more than anybody else is.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And then it says, with meekness. You know, somewhere along the line, we have equated meekness with weakness. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said Jesus was meek. But he was strong enough to run him out of the temple. Somebody help me preach. And look at the next word. Long suffering. That means you don't flip off the switch as soon as something bad happens. You will be patient. How many of you in this church are patient Christians? Or is it doesn't take anything for you to flip off and lose your patience? And you're long-suffering with each other, or you're long-suffering with yourself, but you ain't long-suffering with somebody else. By the way, there's some Christians that are not as far along as you are, but we ought to be patient with them until they catch up. Amen. This is why I just don't agree with everything such and such said. Well, so what? We can still be patient. We can still suffer long. You said, who's the best example of that? Jesus. He suffered it all. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was spit on. Yeah, but he didn't say anything. Oh, hold on. There's another word here on our behavior. Forbearing one another. You said, what's that mean? That means you put up with other people. There are some people say, I guess they putting up with that. What kind of attitude is that? What if God would say that about us? I want to tell you something, Rich. I am glad he puts up with me, because I am a mess. Y'all ain't supposed to amen that, but that's okay. I'm a mess. But God puts up with us. And we ought to forbear one another and forgive one another. And by the way, you don't forgive one another and ask for an apology. What you do, you forgive whether they apologize or not. And forgiveness is not for them, they're for you. Am I preaching? By the way, we ought to learn how to be the right kind of church people.
Yes, sir.
We ought to behave right. Man, I want you to know something. I've got to work on that. Because every once in a while, I don't want to put up with nonsense. Every once in a while, I don't like putting up with bitterness and anger. Every once in a while, I get fed up too. But here's the thing. Just because I lose my patience doesn't mean I have to mark you off. I got to forbear one another. Is that good preaching? By the way, don't disagree with them, because I just preached every word correctly. Just because we don't do it don't mean it ain't right. And then Not only there must be a oneness in humility or behavior, they must be a oneness in our theology. Now, here's where we get off. See, how can two walk together if they don't agree? Some people say, why don't you associate with certain other denominations or religions? Well, the Bible said, how can we walk together if we don't agree? We got to line up biblically. Now, let's look at that for a moment. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 4, functional unity. There's one body. Come here, Michael. Come here. How many of y'all believe this is a part of the body? That thumb. What would it be if I start turning that thing and hurting you?
It'd hurt.
That'd be bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, it don't look like it's important.
Right.
It ain't your head. I don't know where I'm at in the body. And I don't know where you're at in the body. We sure don't need to be butchered up the body. I don't know where you're at. I may be a toenail. I don't know. But I tell you what, if I'm a toenail in God's business, I'm happy.
Amen. That's good,
Pastor. See, it's diverse life. And then we see a divine life, one spirit. Hey, by the way, there's not two Holy Ghosts. Look at me for a minute. When you got saved, you got all the Holy Ghost you'll ever get. And our problem is not that we don't have the Holy Ghost, he just don't have us. Somebody help me preach. I wonder if we were filled with the Holy Ghost, if we would act different and feel different and have a better disposition. Then we're distinct in our longing. See, there's one body and one spirit and one hope of our calling. How many of you all agree the best thing could happen is Jesus come again? Can everybody agree 100% on that? Then I want you to notice some of this fundamental unity. One Lord. By the way, Muhammad's not Lord. Buddha's not Lord. The Pope's not Lord. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven. Amen. And then there's one faith. Here's where we get off on these people that go left and go right. You know what faith is? It's not faith like trusting God. Faith is what we believe.
Yeah.
Amen, Joe? Faith is what we believe. Don't tell me that there's a belief that you believe and he believes and they are different. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. One of you's wrong. Somebody help me. Everybody's not right. By the way, I still believe in salvation by grace. How many of y'all believe that? How many believe that once you're saved, you're eternally secure? Somebody help me. How many believe that there's a progressive sanctification happening in our life once we got saved? Somebody help me. See, there's one belief. There's one. And by the way, how many of y'all agree with me that we ought to quit fighting about stupidity and standing for truth?
Yes, sir. Good word. Amen.
I mean, there's people leave churches. They don't leave them over doctrine.
No.
They don't leave them over doctrine. They leave them because they're mad.
Yeah.
And they don't get their way.
Come on, preacher. You're telling it right.
I had somebody one time did this to me. When I first got called to preach, am I agreed in here? This guy was crazy. He was in my first church, Jeremy. And I preached on grace that night. I mean, who can fight about grace? He comes up after service in front of my wife and said, I want you to know I ain't quitting smoking cigarettes. Well, I said, I didn't tell you to quit smoking cigarettes. Margaret will tell you. He come right to the window. And he looked at me and he said, here I am, 6'5", 405 pounds. at the time and said, if you say anything, I'll knock you out. I said, that sounds Christian. I said, I don't care if you smoke. They're not going to send you to hell, make you smell like you've been there, but ain't going to send you to hell. And I said, you ought not, but listen to me. Somebody help me preach. There's all kinds of stupid stuff goes on. And I know I ain't supposed to use that word. Then one baptism. You know what baptism does? It separates us from the world. By the way, baptism isn't sprinkling. Baptism is not sprinkling. Baptism is full immersion in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Then we got a family unit. We got one Father who got absolute power, who has an abiding progress for our life. Somebody help me preach. Then I want you to notice this in verse 7 through 10. It's characterized by diversity. By the way, everybody can't do everything. And some people are gifted to do some things, and some people are gifted to do other things. And people up at the food pantry yesterday. They're gifted at that. They run that thing smooth as silk. If I was up there, I'll be honest with you, I'd give it all away, mess it all up, and all the food be going on the first person. I'm not gifted that way. That's not my gift. I'm a preacher. But there are folks that know how to do it. There's folks know how to run bus ministries. There's folks know how to teach children. There ain't nothing wrong with that. That's great. Am I preaching? And by the way, you ought to thank God that you get to do what you do. And it's not that you had to do it. You get to do it. It's the greatest thing you ever have because God lets you do it. Am I preaching? See, we need to appreciate a giving Savior. Grace accompanies gifts, and gifts accompanies grace. Now, notice what God does to edify. Look at verse 11. Acknowledge gifted saints. Now, I want you to stay with me. I'm trying to close, but this is good stuff. And he gave some apostles. Now, I was asked the other day, is that gift still good? No. There's no more apostles. Apostles had to see the resurrection of Christ. And apostles were there for the infant church. Somebody help me preach. And then there was prophets. Somebody asked me the other day, is there any prophets? No. A prophet is somebody that wrote this Bible. And last time I checked, there ain't no more Bible being written. So those two gifts are gone. But there's three more. And there's what is called, stand up, Michael. This young man is an evangelist. What is an evangelist for? Somebody help me. To deal with sinners. They preach evangelistically. And then there are pastors and teachers. Well, you ought to put that together because actually it's one office, pastor, teacher. These people that sit. Can I tell y'all something so I can get this off my chest? Have you ever heard people say, well, if he's a monotone preacher, kind of talk, hello, folks. How are you tonight? Well, bless you. They say he's a teacher. He could do that and not teach nothing. Then you could be, wow! And say, he's the preacher. Not necessarily. It's not how loud you talk. It's an ability or gift God gave to the pastor. You know what I'm doing tonight, Rich? I am preaching, but also I'm teaching. I'm pastoring. I'm doing both of them. By the way, it's not how loud you preach. It's what you preach and what you teach. I'm just a loud preacher. But that don't mean somebody that preaches softly is not a good preacher. That's just our style. But as long as they're a preacher and they teach the word of God, I'm happy with it. Now, let me show you what preachers are for and evangelists are for. Number three, look at verse 12 through 14. I'm almost done. Would you look at your Bible? For the perfecting of the saints. Why does God give pastors and teachers and evangelists? For the perfecting of saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now here's my job. Y'all want to hear my job? My job is to equip you so you can go out and win the world. My job is to preach and teach to you that you'll be a great Christian. Somebody help me. My job is to edify. See, I want to tell you something. This hurts me, Jeremy. There's too many divisions in our churches today. Why can't we just be edified? Why can't we see it together? By the way, it's one Bible. How many believe the Holy Spirit tell? Hey, by the way, the same Holy Spirit tells me truth should be telling you the same truth, if I'm right. And by the way, I believe you ought to edify. I don't think we ought to do anything that would divide the believer. But we ought to edify. Then number three in verse 13. Till we all come into unity of faith. We need to educate. Now I'm going to stop there. If a preacher has a doctorate, good. A master's, good. But I want to tell you. You may not ever get a doctor or a master's, but if you're educating yourself in the Word of God, let me name a preacher. Let me ask you if anybody's heard of this guy. Anybody in this room ever heard of Curtis Hudson? How many heard of him? Had a high school education. He had a doctorate, but it was an earned doctorate. Had a high school. But he was one of the most brilliant men I've ever heard preach. I thought he was a prince of preachers. He became motivated me. I'd almost climb up that wall when he preached. Because he had a way to educate. See, here's what we are missing in our churches today. Is educating our people. Amen. Our people ought to know what they believe.
Yes, sir.
They ought to know what they believe.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to hurry. And then verse 13. That we be enlarged. Can I ask you something? How many's ever read the book of 1 Corinthians? Raise your hand if you read it. Chad, I'm going to ask you a question. I ain't putting you on the spot. Just think. What did he label that church? You know, babies, carnal. Wasn't that 1 Corinthians? Somebody help me. That's what they were labeled. It is a sad thing when people have been saved 25, 30 years and are still drinking the milk of the word. Still infants. Shame on us. Everybody got a Bible. Everybody knows how to read here. We just need to get in the word of God. And then we need to be established. I want y'all to know something. Now, I'm going to say this kind of carefully. If I lose my mind, all bets are off. Okay? Now, if I lose my mind, all bets are off. But as long as I've got this mind I got right now, you'll not see me depart from the faith. Now, I'll be able to go crazy, Jeff. And, you know, all bets are off. But I want you to know something. You can't get me out of the faith. You can't get me off of what I am. You can't change me from being a Baptist. You can't change me from believing salvation by grace. You can't change me from being eternally secure. You can't change me. You ain't got time, and I ain't got time, and you can't change me. You know why? I'm established. I know people that have left this church and went to churches that don't even believe in the King James. And I wonder, how in the world was they there all my ministry? And could do that.
My goodness.
could they go to Armenian churches that believe you're saved and lost and been under this kind of preacher for all these years? Something missing. They're not established. He said, well, them liberal churches love us more. Oh, what is it? They don't have the capability of love if they ain't got the right doctrine, because you got to speak the truth in love. Lastly, verse 15, 16, I'm done. I got 2 minutes or so. Look at this. I'm done. It characterized by maturity. But speaking the truth in what? Love. First of all, how many agree that we ought to be mature in our speech? We can disagree all we want to disagree, but we ought to be mature and not be ugly in our speech. If you disagree with me, okay, fine. And we may disagree on something, but we can do it agreeably. We don't have to hate each other. See, I want to tell you something. It's not enough for you to know the Bible and not behave right. And not speak right.
Amen, preacher. Come on, Pastor.
God help us.
Yes, sir.
God help me. We need to say the right things. You say, Preacher Smith, you ever said the wrong things? You'll have.
Yeah.
Let me show you something. That is a size 16. Wide. And I won't lie to you, it fits here. I've had it there before.
Yeah, me too.
I said some stuff. I got home. My little wife looked at me and said, you done went out of your mind. Do you know how you just talked? And she ain't the Holy Spirit, but she tries to work as one. And I said, yes, honey. But I'll tell you what I am. If I do something wrong, I'll apologize. I have. And by the way, if you can't come to a place where you can apologize for your behavior, you're not ever going to get to where you ought to be for Christ. Because there ain't nobody in this room above that. I've messed up before. And a lot of it was just not thinking. I talked before I thought. Am I preaching good? Then verse 16. We need to be mature in our service, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Listen to this. I see this in church. Maybe y'all don't see this if you're not a pastor. I see preachers jealous of other preachers. What in the world's wrong with us? If they're preaching the word of God, you ought to be for it. And I've seen singers be jealous of other singers. Come on now. Ain't no room for that. We ought to have peer service. I'll not be jealous of nobody. And I got a bunch of young preachers. And when they preach, man, they're preaching the house down. And I got to be quite honest with y'all. I'm not sitting back here saying, boy, they're getting close to outdoing me. You know what I'm doing? Get with it, man. Because I'm doing something by putting myself in them to try to train them. And I want to see them get a double portion of what I got. You know what? It'd be a happy day in your life that you be satisfied where you're serving God and not be worrying about what somebody else is doing. Just worry about what you're doing. Happy day in your life.
Yes, sir.
Somebody told me this the other day, and I shut them down. Sweet as good. They started talking about a church up 10 miles from here because that church did it just a little different than we do it. I said, hold on a minute. What they're doing don't mean nothing. If they want to do that, they can do that. I don't mean I don't agree with it, but I'm not falling out with them because they sell a hot dog. I just don't sell hot dogs to raise money. If they want to do it, that's their church. Do what they want to do. They'll stand before God. See, we ought to be mature in our service. Can I say this one more time? I'm winding down. How many people in this church serve in this church somewhere in the ministry? Raise, especially when we're up and running. Raise your mind. You know what? Can I tell you something you ought to do? You ought to raise your hand to God and look at him and say, thank you for letting me do that. I'd have never been anything for the cause of Christ if the pastor wouldn't have been led to put me there and you leading to do it. It's not that you have to do it. You get to do it. You're serving in one of the greatest churches in America. You ought to thank God for it. I'm done. I'm last. Lastly, look at the last part of verse 16. I'm done. Making increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Be mature in our sensitivity. We need to be people that are sensitive about others. I want to say this. I got an evangelist here tonight, and I got a missionary here from our church, out of our church. I don't get to talk to you every day, but I want y'all both to know something. I'm looking at you, Allison, and I'm looking at you. I pray for you every day. I'm your fan. I'm behind you. I want you to succeed. I'm sensitive to your needs. And if you need something, you just come and tell me. And if God can help me, I'll pray about it and do what I can. But how many believe we ought to be sensitive? Hey, there's people in this church need extra love right now. There's people in our church. We got 7 people with cancer. How many believe they need some special love? We got a deacon right now with COVID-19. He's better, but he's not out of the woods. Every one of us ought to be praying for Roger Westfall. And be sensitive to Miss D. D, if you're listening right now, I want you to know your pastor loves you and I care for you. But every one of you that's sick and can't be out to church and you have underlying condition, I want you to know your preacher loves you. And we want to tell you right now, right here on live stream, we care for you. And by the way, this church wouldn't be worth a nickel if we weren't sensitive to people's needs. People come every once in a while. By the way, before you criticize this, you better watch it because you may get here yourself. Every once in a while, somebody in this church gets laid off. And they can't help it. Right now, 20 million Americans are laid off. And right now, they're not getting unemployment. And if somebody misses a bill and they need us and they're not trying to weasel us and they just they have a need, guess who ought to step up to the plate? The Church of the Living God. By the way, we ought not depend just on welfare and Medicare. We ought to be a church that's sensitive to people. I had a person the other day had a need. A little embarrassed to even ask. I didn't even take 2 seconds to pray about it because I knew that I saw his heart. And I just helped him. How many believe we ought to be sensitive to one another? What makes this church as great as it is because we care for one another and we help one another. When people get in the ditch and when they have a mess, we try to pull them out. Somebody help me preach. Man, I'm done. Let me ask you a question. Maybe you disagree with some of what I preach tonight. I don't have no how I preach line upon line, precept upon precept, but okay. But how many agree with me? If we followed what I preached tonight, Rich, we'd be a healthy church. And I think we are a healthy church because we're trying to follow this.
Yep.
Trying to love people. Are you here with me? I want to ask this church tonight. Is there a Christian in this church feeling discouraged and you're down and you just need somebody to pray for you and you'd like for me to do it? Raise your hand. I see them. I see them. I see you. And I am going to do it. We have somebody in this church tonight that's a preacher. I want to be a better Christian. I really want to love like Christ. And I know I could and I should. And I want you to pray for me that I'd just do better. Raise your hand. I wonder how many of us just come around the altar and thank God we're a part of the body and say, Lord, thank you. And Chad, where are you at? Are you up here? Michael, I want you to come up and take your mask off and lead the invitation. I'm going to go pray. I got some people I want to pray for right now. I want to pray for myself. I want you to stand tonight. Maybe you just come around the altar and say, I just want to be a better Christian. Father, touch this invitation. Help us to love like we've never loved before. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.